Welcome to Middle School Matters podcast number 700, Wonky, the intellectual journal. We've got some great resources for your classrooms, some jokes, some humor, and some other things that I think will help you out throughout the rest of the school year. So without further ado, here's the wonderful, the magnanimous, the Mr. Troy Patterson.
All right, welcome back to the show. I am Troy Patterson, and with me is the world's greatest co-show host, Mr. Sean McGurr. Hey, Sean.
Well, hello there. How are you?
I'm all right. It's I'm back and trying to get into the swing of things. It's kind of funny how if you don't do this for a couple of weeks, you go like, okay, where do I click? Where do I click? What do I? Okay, so but I think we got everything set. You know, may have taken me a couple of extra seconds to get things arranged, but everything is arranged. We're ready to go. But I do have to tell you that I think I'm running out of Motown puns. Yeah, you know, I've got like two, maybe three left. Four tops.
Got you. This is all a result of you moving to Maine. I know. Yes. Four tops. I got it. Yeah.
Hey, where can you get chicken broth in bulk?
In bulk? Well, there's a place in Detroit.
The stock market.
Oh, that's an even better place. I bet it's better to get it there than the place across from UAD.
You know, 3 years ago, my doctor told me I was going deaf.
Really?
I haven't heard from him since.
Oh.
Yeah. That one hits a little too close to home, but hey. Why is Peter Pan always flying?
I don't know. Why is Peter Pan always flying?
He never lands.
Oh, okay.
I like the joke because it never grows old.
Oh, that's true too. Yes.
It's kind of like a twofer on that one.
No whiskers on that one.
Yeah, and living in Maine, I think this one's appropriate. You can summer in places and winter in places. But you don't fall in places or spring in places.
That's true, yes.
That's true. You know, you can summer in Maine. It's currently mud season, or almost mud season. I sent John a sign that was like, closed for mud season. And I'm like, here, that's a real thing.
And I believe I wrote back saying, I'm glad you have that.
Yeah.
Not me.
All right, let's continue on with your quiz. What internal organ is located on children's legs, but not on adults?
Internal, located on the legs. Boy, I don't know. I'm confused even by the words themselves.
That was the goal. Kidneys.
Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
Hey, did you hear about the car mechanic who was fired after his first day?
Oh, no.
He was asked to change a tire. He came back an hour later in a three-piece suit.
I got it. Yep. Yep.
Did you hear about the other man who asked somebody to lend him $10 until next payday?
No.
Guy says, sure. Here you go. When's payday? First guy looked at him and said, I don't know. You're the one with the job.
Ah.
We've got some visual jokes and a lengthy explainer over at middleschoolmatters.com. So head over there. The first one, I just want to note, even Bob Marley looks a little concerned about this one. You have to look a little closely, but even Bob Marley looks concerned about this one. The second one I found absolutely hilarious. And the third one is all about a seventh grader. So I thought that was appropriate as well. If you're third graders, this is a question. Here's a question for you. So the third one is about finding a signature. Do your seventh graders, yes, have they found a signature? Do they write at all? Do they, have you noticed this? Have you had a discussion about this?
That's very interesting. Two things happened. I wasn't going to bring it up this week, but this is actually very, very appropriate for this thing right here. So I had a young lady come up to me, and I'd written something on the – so in my district, if I send a student to the resource room, I have to fill out a piece of paper that says what they're doing, the information, who I'm sending, all this sort of thing. When the kid gets down to the resource room, they fill out a Google form with the exact same information. Okay. I don't know why I'm doing it when the kid is replicating the same exact thing. Anyway,
yeah,
that's beside the point. So I do what my French teacher used to do, and I have fun with their names, right? So, for example, I have a student named Dalal, right? So it becomes Dalalalalalala.
Okay.
So I wrote that.
Dalal is a pretty common name. Yes.
Yes. Yep. It's very, very common in the group that I teach. So I said, who's this for? Because it's her name at the top of the, she knows, right? And she looks at me and she goes, I don't know. She goes, I can't read cursive. And I said, I bet if you tried, you could do it. Because most of the time, if you say that, they start working it through and they realize they can read it. They just don't want to try. They want you to tell them, right?
Right.
And before anything else could happen, one of those little cursive writing pages that I had given a kid back in September, all of a sudden, I hear, and he had whipped it out from I don't know where he keeps it. But it is so handy that before she could say anything, he had it out and said, here, use this. It'll help.
Okay.
And it did.
And it
she
did.
Read it. She's like, oh, I get it. This is just, you know, like, and she goes, I get it. This is just, uh-huh. Now, you have to remember, English is her second or third language. And yeah. And then the second thing that I find this funny is that the kids have now discovered two things. One, donut cats, which are these little backpack charms that you can put in your backpack, which I encourage because I sell them down in the school store.
there's a profit motive here.
Hey, it gets my kids to Lansing. It gets my kids to Washington, D.C. You should buy lots of dog cats, especially since a lot of you that are buying them aren't going. Just because that's the nature of the group that I serve. And then the other thing is that they've discovered that they could personalize the outside of their Chromebooks, like, you know, stickers and that sort of thing. And I think the image, that's a long way to say, the image you've written here, like with the signatures, the whole writing thing, I see them doing it with stickers, not signature, but like icons. Like going
so they're allowed to put stickers on their Chromebooks?
No, they're not.
Okay.
But they do.
Right.
They're not. No. Because they're going to turn it in and somebody's going to sit there and peel the stickers off the Chromebooks. And central office isn't overly concerned about it because all the Chromebooks are rented, right? And if there's damage to the Chromebook, they just turn it in and they get another Chromebook. And somebody in Texas sits there and has to scrape off the gum and scrape off all the... So it's somebody in Texas. It's not...
Okay.
That's... I don't know if that's right or not, but that's the way they're thinking about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
What else is there? Oh, and then somebody else... wanted one of those little cards that has, you know, cursive and printing on it. And she wanted that because she wants to learn cursive. Sticking to the language theme, I had a student come up. He's in my second hour. He's a sharp kid, nice kid. And he goes, Miss Bigger, I want to learn an ancient language. And I said, okay. And he goes, yes. What ancient language should I learn? I said, probably for what you're doing right now, we should probably learn some Latin. So he's self-teaching himself Latin. I got him a book to help him with it. He's self-teaching Latin, and I'm seeing Latin phrases popping up. What other language things have I seen recently? Well, there's another one, but you were going to say something.
Yeah, but I don't remember what it was now.
It's okay. So yeah, we've been having fun with language. A number of the kids are starting to discover that. Well, so another student came up to me and said, Mr. Rigger, Social Studies is now my favorite class. And I said, really? I said, she goes, I hated it in elementary. And if you know our elementary, teacher doesn't teach on Social Studies. So I'm trying to figure out what social studies she's talking about, because they don't have any. And I said, well, what do you mean? What did you do for social studies? She goes, well, you know, 9/11. Oh, no. You did a 9/11 Memorial Day thing, and that was social studies. She goes, yeah. I said, well, what else did you do? She goes, nothing. That's all we did. You just read, and that was the only thing we did. Oh, okay. So she's interested in it because she's never had it before. Mm-hmm. But one of the things she said was, she goes, I thought people from long ago were just stupid. And I realized now that they weren't. I was like, oh, that's an interesting observation.
I think that's more common than we process. It's like, from a kid perspective, like, why didn't they just know not to do this, that, or the other thing, right?
Yeah. But for her to actually make the realization, I thought was pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. I always think back to when doctors figured out that washing their hands made a huge difference, and the amount of resistance to that, because they couldn't process that they could be the problem. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't want to accept that they could be the problem, that by not washing their hands, they were spreading disease, because their whole persona and makeup was, I'm here to help people. How can I be hurting people? Kind of thing. Hey, speaking of helping people.
Yes.
We have someone who helps people every show. And this week, he's got a little bit about Mercury, not the planet.
Oh, which one then? What Mercury could you be talking about?
So they have that nice little atomic chart, and Mercury's on there.
It's true, but did you know that Dave has a horse related to this?
I did not. I thought maybe we were going to go into car metaphors here, but go for it.
I tell you what. I'll tell you after you. Okay. Our wonderful audience listens to this segment.
Because Dave could have a Mercury.
Well, that's true. That's true. He could.
You know.
It'd be appropriate too.
I could see that. Nice little sports car there.
Yeah.
But he's going to enlighten us, warn us about Mercury hazards. So here, without further ado, is the wonderful Mr. Dave Bidlowski with the Middle School Science Minute.
Hi, this is Dave Bidlowski of K12Science.net, and this is your K-12 Science Podcast. I was recently reading the National Science Teaching Association's blog, and in particular, their safety blog, written by Ken Roy, April 10th, 2026. And he wrote an article entitled, Mercury Spills in the Science Instructional Space, Hazards, Risks, and Safety Actions. Use of mercury in high school and middle school science classrooms and laboratory instructional spaces has well-known safety and health hazards and risks. Bottom line is, don't take any chances with safety and health, even to learn important science. Mercury use can be hazardous for a number of reasons. The biggest concern is the production of toxic vapors. Elemental mercury evaporates at room temperature. The vapor is colorless, odorless, and generally invisible, so people likely won't realize they have been exposed. Inhalation exposure can cause headaches, dizziness, tremors, memory and concentration problems, and nervous system damage. Children and adolescents tend to be more vulnerable than adults. Even a small amount can create vapor levels above safer limits in enclosed rooms. But there are some stringent professional safety practices that are needed. And those are: one, do not free use mercury in K-12 labs. Secondly, do not allow students to handle mercury. Third, do not use mercury in demonstrations without exceptional justification. Fourth, use mercury-free alternatives. And fifth, remove and dispose of legacy mercury devices, including the following: mercury thermostats used for temperature regulation in homes and schools, blood pressure cuffs, commonly used in medical practices for measuring blood pressure, electrical switches and relays, found in various electronic devices and appliances, electrical switches and relays, and finally, barometers. They're used for measuring atmospheric pressure. But there are some safer alternatives for materials in the classroom. Traditionally, mercury has been used in mercury thermometers, but now we can use alcohol-filled or digital thermometers. As I mentioned earlier, traditionally, barometers have had mercury in them, but now we can use aneroid barometers or digital sensors. Traditionally, many people have used mercury to do density demos, but now you can use steel shot, glass beads, or non-toxic liquids. And also mentioned electrical switches, which had mercury in them. Today we can use solid-state or mechanical switches. In high school and middle school science instructional spaces, mercury poses an unacceptable risk and should not be used. The combination of toxic vapor, potential spills, student exposure, regulatory burdens, and cleanup costs make mercury unsafe and unnecessary for modern science instruction. Educators can preserve educational value without introducing this hazard. And this has been your K-12 Science Podcast. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Nay, I say, I do not know this horse of which you speak.
Okay, well, so Dave used to be on this old-time radio show, and he had a horse. And he used to say, "Hi-ho, Quicksilver, away." It didn't quite take as well as the other radio show, but yeah, Dave had a horse.
Okay. Let's see here. I was off for a couple of weeks because I was on vacation.
Woo.
So I'm back.
You look rested. You look ready. I won't say tanned because that part of the part of the world is not necessarily known for tanning, but.
No. The weather was good. They were happy that we brought the nice weather with us. It was, 50s.
Oh, that's nice.
I went to Scotland and Ireland, so it was kind of neat. I like to travel, see other places, go in, just kind of see how things are different, to see some different perspectives and hear some different perspectives, and that's fun. Fun story, our bus driver.
Mm-hmm.
Is also a world-renowned tenor. He sang with the five Irish tenors. And then COVID kind of interrupted that. So he was an interesting gentleman. Wonderful gentleman. Very caring. Very, very pleasant. Very... just wonderful. Wanted to make sure we had a good time. And our group was a small group, which was nice. So we got to visit several castles and several churches. And in that as well. So it's wonderful. And then my favorite sign, because I know, Sean, that you are dying to know what my favorite sign was.
Yes, actually. I've been anticipating this the entire... You didn't even talk about it in the pre-show.
I know.
You make me hold out just for this.
Even though we spend... We probably spend more time on the pre-show than we do the show. Every time there's things... Even with the pre-shows, surprises still happen. Anyway, my second favorite sign was give way. That's their yield sign. But my favorite sign was haste ye back.
Oh.
It's an actual sign.
Huh.
Yeah.
Do they ask you to bring pudding?
No. Oh. And pudding, by the way, if you have pudding for breakfast, pudding is not the pudding that we may think of.
Oh,
it
yes,
is not
that's
like
true.
A dairy based.
No.
No. So, yeah, you could be surprised by that. But that's one of the other things I like about traveling is getting trying different food. And I had some haggis. So that was good. Oh. That was good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great, man.
So I was back, and I hear you had a sub.
I did have a sub.
And yeah. Subbing is, I've talked about, I'm retiring June 30th, and I'll probably be subbing. So I'm looking for tips, of course, on how to be a good sub.
Ha ha! I don't think that's about how to be a good sub. I don't think that. I think you've got this part down. Yeah. No. So, let's go with this for just a moment. Now I will say this: the poor lady in question, she is a sub. She's not nearly as bad as others. Well, I'll tell you. So let's start with the worst. The worst was not in my classroom. No. The worst this week was a lady came in to sub for a math class, grabbed the sub plans, walked over to a student, and had her translate the lesson plans into Arabic so that she could understand them.
Okay.
There's no way in the world that this lady has 90 credit hours at an American university. And right. Can't read English.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I will say one more thing. We were yelled at collectively, but I know it was only intended for me. We were yelled at collectively for putting our lesson plans in cursive. So... What I did started doing I type my lesson plans out in a cursive font in the top half of the page.
Oh.
And then I put a bar at the middle, and I put translation, and then I put them in Atkinson Hyper Intelligible, for the visual acuity challenged. So the top half and the bottom half match, right?
Right.
And then I turned a copy of my lesson plans into the assistant principal, saying, here's my plans for when I'm gone.
Okay.
Call me out in front of the staff. Do it again. Please. I beg you. We need the laugh. All right. Anyway, so this lady, she works hard. She really does. She tries hard. And my second hour kids, which we're doing, you know, those testing days where you reverse the schedule and you get those kids in the afternoon that you normally have in the morning.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, so I had to run to an IEP, and this poor lady was at my class, and the kids decided that they wouldn't wait for the full moon, that they would just go crazy. So they decided that the books that I buy to put in the blue bins that they can read to help them work on their projects, they decided that they would make wonderful things to throw across the room. And they decided that they've never been inside Mr. McGregor's desk, so we'll just go over and do that. You know, what is actually in here? What does the teacher keep in that desk? So they did, and they held up the objects, and they showed them around the room. Not much got done. You know, mayhem was had by all. So we had to have a moment, right? And I informed them that I was not happy. They proceeded to announce to the rest of the school that they had rage baited me. I didn't mention that before. And I said, well, then this moment is not over. This moment is going to last. And normally I give kids time to work in their groups on the group projects that are due, in this case, right after the DC trip. But this group isn't getting that. And they're suddenly realizing that I haven't let them go and just work together on things because that's what they're supposed to do. And they weren't doing it. And so we've had, you know, and I've explained to them, I'm not going to take you anywhere. They want field trips. We're not going to take you anywhere where you're going to embarrass your parents. And they're like, oh, yeah, okay. And then I committed the ultimate power move. Ultimate.
Okay.
I took a group of Arabic boys, and I planted one girl at their table. If looks could kill, I would have been car bombed or something. I would be dead, right? Because they're like, how dare you do that? And I'm like, well, it keeps the chatty Kathy quiet and it keeps you guys quiet. So I'm not seeing the downside here, you know? And then, this week I changed all my lesson plans. Like, so what the other kids did, the other kids had some freedom to do things. And I tightened things right down to the minute with them, right? And they notice it. They realize it. And the other kids in the other classes are coming back to me going, they started the conversation with, Mr. McGregor, what did second hour do? And they're asking because they don't want this done to them, right? And that's what I want, is I want them to start realizing behavior matters, right? And it has consequences. And if I can't trust you to do the right thing, then we're going to do things, you know, in an untrusting way. And they're starting to get the message, right? Now, they went downstairs after the first time I did it, and they were bragging so loud that the encore teachers are coming to me and saying, hey, kids are saying that they rage baited you. I said, they tried. Yeah. They don't realize what's coming, but something's coming. And it took about a week, and now they're at the point where they're back to being students again. But we had to go through that in order to get them back to being students.
Yeah.
So the poor sub, yeah. Poor sub is, and then Troy asked the very prescient question. He says, how many days left? 25. 25, Troy. There are 25 days left, yes. And I'm not including the 3 days of Eid. I am including the 3 days I'm with kids in D.C. There are 25 days left. And poor subs, you know, I don't know what they're going to do. But I don't know about other districts, but the level of sub... It must not be that you have to have 90 credit hours anymore to sub, because we're getting, or if they are, if they're still there, we got people who are flat out lying, trying to come in and sub. They must think that what we do is just sit and play games with kids all day long.
Yeah.
I think we need to go back to substitute teacher academies and start having these folks that are coming in, you know, do some. These are our expectations as a district. These are what you need to do. If you don't see something, say something. Find help. We'll help you find lesson plans, or we'll make up stuff for you to do, right? You don't have to walk in and just sit there and wait for somebody to tell you to do something.
I was going to say, that's one of the things that I know that I'm going to have to do is, like, I'm going to have to put together a back pocket activity list, right?
Yep.
Because I understand that sometimes when you go into sub, there's not enough stuff, or there's not stuff. So, and I no longer have that because it's been a long time since I subbed. Or when I have, quote, subbed, it's been in a building where I had knowledge of what was going on, and I could continue on with whatever they were doing, or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. It's, It's a challenge. I'm not sure that when I give up this gig that I would go back to the subbing thing. Although in Michigan, I don't think I can do that. I think I have to wait so many days before I can do that.
You have to wait
a right away thing anyway.
Yeah. It's 30 days. So
it's shortened.
And then, for you, that'd be the question, because I think you might be limited on how much you could make in subbing, because you'd be part of the same pension group thing. Maybe. Maybe not.
No, subs don't get a pension anymore.
So you might be good.
I would be. So one of the things that's happened, and this, again, we digress. We hired a math interventionist, and she's a former math teacher. She's working a full-time job. She's doing a full-time thing. She retired, and then she kind of unretired. She's retired, but she's working on a separate, like a contract basis type thing. But she's working a full-time job. And maybe she's
as long
making
as...
just under the amount that she's allowed to make.
Yeah, because you can't like retire and then hit the same pension group.
Right.
Kind of
right.
thing.
But she, yeah. So, and that's something else that I was having a chat with someone, I forget who, and they suggested doing the whole find a nonprofit and go work in a nonprofit. Doing something, because it doesn't matter. So you could go teach at a private school, or you could go teach at a nonprofit organization somewhere, and then you don't have, and there's no restrictions on it.
Yeah, and that's why I could take a full-time job. I just had to go to another state.
Right. So I could drive to Ohio, I suppose, but
yeah, but you could like. You could take a full-time job in the private sector.
Yes.
Right? Like, you could go, welcome to Lowe's.
mm-hmm. Oh,
so,
yeah. Yeah, and even even if, doing the... I knew somebody... When I was a kid working at McDonald's, I'd flip burgers. And there's a lady that would come in 4 hours a day. It's all she wanted, 4 hours. She'd work the front counter for 4 hours. Mm-hmm. She was done. And then in the summertime, like when school, the last day of school on the calendar, that was her last day at McDonald's. And she wanted her summers off. And so that's what they said was, all right, we'll hire a kid, and in the fall when the kids go back to school.
She'd come back.
You come in and do your 4 hours a day thing. And that's what she did. And she was happy.
Yep.
And I was thinking to myself, I'm not working the front counter at McDonald's anymore. Not going to do that. But I didn't. I was grill. For those of you McDonald's alums out there, I was a closer. I did grill. I was one of those werewolves that would howl at the moon at night. We're crazy. Absolutely crazy.
And you've got a while before you're retiring, right?
Absolutely.
unless you have another second hour again next year.
No, so we've already scoped out the sixth graders, and we've heard really wonderful things, and I've made efforts to talk to sixth graders. And the thing that – so I have to bring my kids down to lunch, my seventh graders down to lunch, and something that absolutely baffles them, they don't understand this, is why the eighth graders from last year come by and want to talk to me, and why the sixth graders – whenever they see me, will come up and talk to me.
Come and talk to me. That's
right.
Right?
Yeah. But they don't understand that, because they don't go back and talk to their sixth grade teachers, and they're not talking to us, and they're not going to talk to the eighth grade teachers. This is crazy. Why would anybody do this? And they just don't understand that we've worked hard and tried to build relationships, and they're important. And this group just does not see that value.
And it's always funny how you get those different groups, right? One year is just like, this is a tough group. That was one of the things with looping, by the way. The teachers were like, but if we get a If we get a
yes.
that group, we've got them for 2 years. And I said, yeah, but if you get a
yeah.
wow group, you get them for 2 years.
Yeah, but even then, with looping, one of the benefits of it is I had that group that mm-hmm. was just, ugh. And I looped with them to eighth grade, and it was like totally different, night and day different group of kids. I was like,
yeah.
Who are you, and what have you done with the previous group, and don't bring them back. And I told them, I said, you guys are so much better this year than you were last year. You know, and I said, well, what's the difference? And they looked at me, and they're like, we don't know.
I don't know.
Yeah, ask me the right question.
It's kind of more like, I don't know.
That's true.
I'm thinking at this point I'm gonna sub for a while. We'll see how long that lasts and whether I like it or don't like it, but we'll see. That's kind of my plan right now. So
cool.
Who knows?
So if there are any districts hiring, you might be able to hire Troy.
Well, part of this is if I sub locally, there's a couple of things that happen, right? Number one is I have a 5-minute drive to work, right? I can be there in 5 minutes. I can be in any of the three. Well, I guess there are a couple of schools that are like technically part of. Maine uses a lot of SADs, school administrative districts, and RSUs, regional school units. And Godna is a SAD. So there is a school in a like the next town over. So that one might take me 7 minutes to get to. Oh. to. But anyway.
Suffering, the pain and so, the agony.
I know. So and then you have control over this, right? Like, right. I don't want to do this today, or I don't know, I'm not going to pick up that job tomorrow or whatever. And then it also, you get to know some more people around, which I think is a benefit as well.
True.
You know?
Yeah.
So we'll see. And plus, you know, I like working with kids. I've come to realize that a lot of the best times that I had were as a teacher or a principal. So, and maybe that's the frustration of being a technology director and like frequently feeling left out. We had somebody reached out to the tech integrator, and I was walking down the hall, and Eric, who's our tech integrator, says, "Are you busy?" And I said, "I'm always busy, but what do you need?" And he said, "Well, so-and-so has a question. I'll go with you." So we go there, and they're like, "We have to do 10-day letters and 10-day for attendance." And I said, "Okay, that's, you know, 10 days absence. We don't do that. That's very normal." And she shows me the process, and I'm like, "Oh, we can help with this. Give me a couple minutes." So I go back. I come back to her. She goes, "Well, I'm in no real big hurry." I go back to her like, I don't know, 20 minutes later, because it's a 3-minute walk to the other side of the building. And I go, "Click here, click here, click here." She's like, "Oh." I said, "Just talk to us. You know, just talk to us. Mm-hmm. We can help make a lot of this more efficient." But people frequently don't do that. And then there's a lot of issues that people are pushing as tech issues, which are really pedagogy issues. And I miss being able to have the pedagogy issues, because a lot of people won't have pedagogy issues with me because I'm the tech director. And all that they want is they want to talk to me about just the tech, like and usually they want to talk to me when it's too late. Like they've already chosen everything based on some sales rep.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already done all of that. And then they're like, now it's like, okay. Sure, I can push the buttons that give everybody accounts, but we could have done a lot. We could have helped the kids a lot more. So one of the things I'm looking forward to is actually working with kids and doing some of that, and we'll see. So I miss having some of those conversations. I miss walking by and having my AP go, so, because this is a real story, by the way. Walked by, and my AP was like, so you're making a cake, and you put just a little bit of dog poop in the cake. It's just a little bit. and I just laughed because I knew what the conversation was. I knew the kid was like, it wasn't that bad. I didn't do that much. It was like, so, you know, and I miss those conversations. So yeah. One of the things I don't want to miss is the social web.
Oh, that's true. Especially you don't want to miss Susie Dent. Susie Dent at Susie_Dent. Word of the day is tably mobly or mobly, meaning indifferently well. Essentially the 19th century version of meh.
Meh.
So there you go. Pop that one. When they go, bruh, you can just go tably wobbly or tably mobly. And then see how often they'll use it. Some of the ones we've done in the past, I've put into their vocab practice in H5P. And my personal entertainment this week was listening to them all try to use Jabla Job with H5P.
Okay.
And explaining to me that H5P doesn't understand them, which is absolutely accurate.
Are they doing this like auditorily? Are they speaking? Because in H5P, you can do it both ways. You can type it, and I can see if they're typing it that it's getting marked as being spelled incorrectly, or they can be pronouncing it, and I can see an AI struggling with recognizing some of these words.
Yes, so this is speak the words, which is spoken only. You can't type anything.
Yep.
And so they're shouting jobbly job into their computers, and the Google AI, the Google language that runs behind the scenes in H5P to do the understanding is just coming back, and it's giving them all kinds of things to, you know, this is what I heard. This is what I heard. This is what I heard. It's like 15 things, different things it could have been that they thinks it heard. And the kids, they're trying. And I'm like, this is good because in September they would have quit. But now we've got some resilience. We've got some grit. We're trying. Granted, it's only for my own personal entertainment, but they're trying. And eventually what I'll do is I just cut off the activity. We move to the next thing. So I don't let them go too far. Right, but it is, I do, you know, rage bait the teacher, and guess what happens?
I was going to say.
We have our ways, kids. We have
That's right.
Yeah. So, jobbly jock, yes, and probably mobly. Anyway, Eric Kurtz. Eric Kurtz posted this week links for the week for April 27th of 2026. And there's a link to Control Alt Achieve in there. Constellation Draw Talkie, which is an AI from the 1930s. Seek and Finds, Teach Aids, What's New in Google, Google Takeout for School. And there's a whole bundle of new EduGems you can go and make your own. So there's a link in the show notes to Eric Kurtz's latest EdTech links for the week. Go out there and have fun exploring. Discover something new you can use in your curriculum. We've run across that this week, and I say this every year, that in the spring, you kind of have to walk on eggshells and be sensitive of everybody's emotional state and feelings, because this is the time of the year where, you know, people go crazy, and they need about 9 weeks in the summer to come back in the fall and be friends again. That's just that's the nature of the job.
Yep.
And then they're good until about March, April, and then, you know, craziness happens again, and you need that 9 weeks to become friends again. Well, Dublin City University said, is it just a busy semester or is it burnout? Writing for Wonka, these German professors have explored a specific reality of educator burnout, moving past the eye rolls to address serious occupational phenomena. And so somebody is now, apparently, I'm going to guess they made it their doctoral dissertation, Dr. Fitzsimmons and Dr. Wonka. Or not Dr. Wonka. Wonka's the magazine. I get a kick out of the fact that a intellectual academic magazine is wonky. That's just so much fun, just right there in that one word.
That's right.
Somebody's decided to study it, and I think that that's good. I think we do need to study it. Our social worker published a PowerPoint for us to view for teacher burnout, because this is teacher burnout month, and she gave us a PowerPoint to watch, because if you're suffering through burnout, that's what you want to do. Go and look at a PowerPoint by yourself. Yes. That's what I will be doing this weekend. I will be healing myself by watching a Google slide deck on burnout. Okay. All right. Sorry.
Okay.
Having a moment there. Yes. Right. Susie Dent posted in another thing. She said, a question. What are the things you wish there was a word for? And have you come up with your own word to fill that gap? And I'm thinking, oh, this is perfect. I got it. I'm going to use this in advisory and ask my teenage girls.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what should where they come from, is those words, yeah.
What should there be a word for, yeah?
Yeah, well, that we don't have one. Let's make a word to fill the gap. Because they'll find it. And I'm hoping we come up with some good ones. And then MiddleWeb has a review of a book of a human-centered approach to using AI in writing instruction. And Vogelsinger has written a book, Models Productive, Effective Approaches to Using AI, where student voices are centered and human thinking trumps artificial intelligence. And Michelle Hyken is the author on that book, or as the reviewer of that book. So an interesting thing happened. We held the geography bee. And okay. A kid who is not normally seen as intelligent scored higher than all of the smartest kids in the school to make it to the last round of the geography bee.
Hmm. Interesting.
So they get down to the auditorium, and he puts up his hand, and he says, do I have to do this? And she goes, no, if you don't want to be here, you should leave and not waste our time. So he stands up and walks out the room, to which all of the 7th and 8th grade students start shouting, ChatGPT, ChatGPT. They all know he used ChatGPT to cheat on the questions to get into the final round. And as he's walking out, they know why he doesn't want to compete. And they're calling him out. They're calling him out, and he doesn't want to stand up and embarrass himself, but so they're going to take it. And they did. They all were like, we know what you did, and we know how you got here. We also know you kept number 26. These are the top 25. You kept number 26 from being here, and they wanted to be here. So the kids have their ways.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, yes, I'm going to probably find this book and examine it some more. I'd like to review on it. I'd like to see what the strategies are. Because I think that's the next thing we're gonna have to discuss coming up.
Yeah, and the New York Times has I think this is just a neat activity. It is called "What's Going On in This Picture," and this is from April 27th, part of the Learning Network from the New York Times. And what they do is they strip out the caption. And they give you the image, and then they ask you to say, like, what's going on in this image? And I think this is a great activity for kids, because you can talk about critical thinking. You can talk about, like, evidence and proof, and it's like, how do you know, and about realizing context and talking about context. And they give you a, number one, they give you a link to a full-size image. So you could put it up on your Promethean board or your clear touch display or your projector or whatever. And then they ask a couple of questions, like, what's going on in this picture? What do you see that makes you say that? What more can you find? And then they have a conversation that you can join, but I don't know that you, I mean, it might be cool to do that. But I think you can do this just on your own with, hey, what do you see? What do you, and talk about it within the class and have the kids compare. It's like, well, what do you see that makes you say that? And then they give you the reveal. They give you the article, caption. And they give you some quotes for it. But I think enculturating that habit of looking a little deeper into the picture is really crucial for our kids, because our kids are living in a very visual medium, and they look at a lot of pictures all day long, and they don't necessarily take time to actually look at the picture. And one of the things that you learn is that in order to see something, you need some time to see it. So you have to take a little bit of time to look at it. So I thought that was a good activity. That's one that I might steal from my sub-folio that I'm, you know, that I need to put together, is just to have some interesting pictures and say, okay, well, what do you see on this one? Why do you say that? What's going on here? Kind of thing.
You could do it by subject matter too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. And I think that that's actually a kind of a regular thing with them. And yeah, they have what's going on in this graph. What's going on in this picture is kind of a regular thing with them. So you can look at, you have a whole bevy of them. There's kind of a, they have some interesting pictures too. So, all right. You know, it might be that you had a birthday.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Have you run across that yet?
I have not. I did I did see this email come across, but I haven't heard the kids say this yet.
Yeah, I haven't either, but I mentioned that it's coming, and I think I might use it on the kids. Access to Culture Translator.
Sean is going to kill the meme before it ever starts.
Uh-huh. You think we're going to let 6-7 come back and make a resurgence? Kill it before it starts. It's not popular. The teachers are doing it. We don't want to do it. Oh, absolutely. 100%. Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, I was teaching the kids finger. When we were in China, one of the things that we did, you know, the Chinese teacher said, no, use your hands. To count? Yeah, use your hands. And they did 5. Then they did 6, which is the thumb and the pinky, 7, which is the index finger and the thumb. And it's essentially sign language, right? And it's okay. And I learned that, and it was helpful. So helpful going throughout China using the finger numbers to use numbers. So I did it to the kids, right? And one of the kids, we took a quiz, and she was trying to tell me your score, and I decided to mess with her. And I said, so I held up, like, 1, as in you got 1 point. She looked at me, and I said, 2, like 2 points. And she started to see how I was doing, and she goes, shakes her head. No, I scored more than that. I said, 3? No. And I said 3. I held up 3 fingers. 4, 5. And then I went to 6, and she looked at me like, what? I said, 5. Yeah, 6. Oh, 6. And then I did 7, and she shook her head, and I went, and then I did the whole, with one hand I had 6 fingers spelled, and the other hand I had 7, and I bounced them up and down. And a number of the kids were watching and figuring this out. And there was a giant groan across the room, like, oh, 6-7. So I did. I trolled my class the other day. So they, yes, I am going to troll them with this. And this comes from Access to Culture Translators, the slang of the week, You the Birthday. The phrase You the Birthday, also spelled You da Birthday, I suppose that's a Chicago thing, can be used to refer to someone who has made themselves the center of attention. Like it's their birthday, either for a flattering or an unflattering reason. The phrase started because the rapper, song Birthday Girl, where he says, she eat, she the birthday girl. With just enough space between the words birthday and girl that some listeners thought he was calling someone the birthday.
Okay.
And now they're using it. That's where it comes from. Am I going to use it? Absolutely. Because I have a bunch of drama queens, right? And when they start going off, or like when they start putting their nose in there, I'm going to say, you the birthday. You have fun with this next one, because I struggled with Hunux Hall.
Yeah, so I think this is Adamancy. This is over at Adamancy, A-T-O-M for Adam, ENCY.com. And what this is there was a high school student, I don't remember if he's a junior or a senior now. So I'll have to click here. A junior, that's what I thought. Okay. Is a junior at Sweetland High School in Prince George's County, Maryland. And he's like, the chemistry tools aren't very good. I'll build some.
Yes. That's how 99 Math got started.
And this is Kyleen Spears is the nice. The student. He's frustrated that the chemistry tools available at school were either locked behind expensive licenses or too simplified to be useful. So I built it.
Good.
Kid is probably going places. I'm 16. I built the entire thing. The molecular engine, all 10 simulation modules, the NGSS alignment documentation, and this website myself. No team, no company, no funding. I'm gonna throw down a challenge for Dave Bidlowski here.
This is very
Dave, if you made it this far into the show, mm-hmm. which he's a warrior and normally he does. But if you've made it this far into the show, check out the site and let us know what you think about it. It looks really, really good. It's, like I said, there's NGSS, there's AP chemistry, there's IB chemistry. You can look at it, all. And you can use it. And he's got challenges and then guided investigations and kind of walks you through how to work it. And it's phenomenal. And this is one of those things that's like, let the kids build the stuff, right? And we know that when kids create, they truly understand it. And if you get a kid to create this, that then every teacher in the country and the world can use, it's like, that's pretty doggone cool. So this looks really, really awesome. You get to add in elements and it looks good. So you can check that out. All right. Tech Dirt. Tech Dirt's not usually one of our and our usual education row here, but this is by Mike Masnick, and Mike Masnick has a lot of interesting things, and a lot of them are related to education. And the title, I think, says a lot. And the title is, "We're Training Students to Write Worse to Prove They're Not Robots, and It's Pushing Them to Use More AI." And I thought, well, that's interesting. And the essential part of the article is that kids are aware and they're being accused of using AIs in articles. So they tend to write worse in order to not be flagged as AI. And it's like, that's interesting. And they're using AI to make sure that they don't get accused of using AI.
Mm-hmm.
It's a thoughtful piece. It's not super lengthy, but it's not super short either. It's not like a 30-second read. But I do think it is something that we need to look at, is AI and AI tools are going to be part of the reality for kids moving forward at this point. So let's accept that. Let's talk about how to use that. Let's talk about what the implications can be and how can we help kids become the best writers that they can be and should be, and how do we do that? And I know that's been an eternal struggle, an eternal question, but I think, like a lot of things, it's not getting any easier. So it's a thoughtful piece that you can take a look at. Just looking time here. I'm just going to mention this briefly. Peter Green over at Kermeducation has a big false assumption about AI in schools. This is one of the things he touches several points that I think are very valid and persistent. There's people who are not really educators who think that AI is going to do certain things in education that I don't think are going to happen, because they're looking at education from the perspective of, I went to school for 12 years. I know what a teacher does, right? Teaching isn't that hard. Right. You just do this. And I think that we see a lot of that in AI as well. It's like, well, teachers do this, so we can create an AI that does that, and it's the same thing. It's like, it's not the same thing. so there's a lot of things that come into play with that, and I think that is something that's going to play out. And then, finally, there's some slang that's been added to the dictionary in the last 5 years. Are you ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Am I right? AMIRITE.
That sounds like very much a Michigan thing.
Yeah. It's apparently Merriam Webster added it in 2021.
Oh, wow.
They say it was coined in 1998.
Oh, I've been using that for years.
Yeah, I know. The second one is FTW, which got added.
For the win?
Yes, for the win.
Yeah, it is. Okay. Yep.
Yeet, Y-E-E-T, was inducted in 2022, which they say goes back to 2007. This is the one that really caught my attention. Janky. They added it in 2022, and I'm like, janky? That's been around for a long time. And they say that it's been around since 1989.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, yeah, it seems to me it's been around a little even longer than that. But, hey, I guess I can go with 1989. Goated. It's came about as the whole big goat, the greatest of all time. Doggo. Instead of just dog, Nepo baby, Shadow ban, adulting. This is one that I do have to say that I've heard more and more recently. They say that this one came up in 2013 and it's been added to the dictionary in 2025.
Okay.
And finally, doom scroll.
Mm-hmm.
Which was added last year as well. We would love it if you'd add us to your regular podcast listening and tell your friends that we're around and available and encourage them to listen as well. You can get it show notes over at middleschoolmatters.com. Plus, you can get the links to podcast catchers of your choice. We would love it if you'd go to the podcast catcher of your choice. Give us a 5-star rating. Tell us why Sean is the world's greatest co-show host. And just reach out. We'd love to hear from you. With that, this has been Middle School Matters for middle school educators who care. All opinions expressed on this podcast are exclusively the opinions of the host and guest and not indicative of any employer.